Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. And first, if this is your first time joining us, welcome. And if you've been listening for this for a little while, thank you. Just means you love truth and that and true points to Jesus Christ, and this ministry is all about Jesus Christ, not me. And that's true. He is the reason for this ministry, the labor of it in my heart. And I pray, always praying, that you can feel the heartbeat of this ministry and the importance of its calling out to America. This week's sermon will be on Mark 4, 36 through 41. That's Mark 4, 36 through 41. The title of this sermon is, in this life, you, I, us, will have storms. Mark 4, 36 through 41, if you have your Bibles, says this. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships, and there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, sleep on a pillow. They woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He rose. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto him, Why are ye so fearful? How is that ye have no faith? As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for this opportunity just to get into your word and study it. Lord, to preach it. Lord, I pray what you have laid on my heart reaches those who need to hear it today or in the future. Maybe tomorrow, maybe this week, maybe this month, maybe in next month, maybe a year from now, whatever it is, Lord, your will be done. God, we know that the things that we see in this life can rattle us. We look at all the things going over in the Ukraine and Russia. Our hearts should be hurting for those suffering over there. We should have them in our prayers, lifting them up daily, in our hearts, in our tears, crying out. This world is so evil. And we know the God of this world is Satan. And we see these things. But we know one day you will come for us. Oh, how we wait for that glorious day. Where you will set all things right as they should be. As it was in the garden that you created so perfectly. Adam and Eve, perfection. You said it was good multiple times. And when you say something is good, we know it is so beyond what we could imagine. Our little minds can't even grasp the beauty of once was. And our little minds cannot grasp what will be one day. And that should, in a sense, give us some hope and joy, knowing this life is not our home. The things that we see in this life is only temporary. Our home is not of this world. And we should praise God for that, because one day you will restore all things you say in the scriptures new. You will create everything new. And there will be no more pain, no more suffering. No more tragedy. And oh, how we long for that day. But for now, we live in this corrupt world. Sin has infested. And we live in the consequence of that sin, that fallen, that original sin that we see in Genesis 2 and 3. And we know in Genesis 3:15, you know that first kind of prophetic calling of you sending Jesus Christ down here to correct things. And it's through the cross, it's through the blood that was shed on that cross. It's that atonement that we can read about in Romans 5 and 5, 1 through 11. It's that cross of blood that was spilt. This correction. Oh, how precious is the blood of Jesus. The atoning work. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that you have given that grace and that mercy to a sinner such as me and us. That we recognize who we are before a holy and righteous God. And that we need you in our lives every day and every hour. Oh, every minute, every second. Oh, how we need you. How we plead for you. I know I do. Jonathan would mess everything up in a heartbeat. He can, he has. You know, I always pray that you give me strength not to. Because this flesh can get pretty strong sometimes. I'm just a man in need of God every day in my life. Without you, I'll fall apart. God, thank you for that grace and mercy. Oh, God, thank you for your Son. All that birth, that death, that crucifixion, of course, the beautiful resurrection, telling us one day our bodies will be resurrected, be it not rapture or the coming, knowing our physical death is nothing compared to if we're in Christ and truly His, of the spiritual life, the spiritual everlasting life that we will experience. But oh, how our hearts should hurt for those that have turned their way. When we tell them about the gospel, they don't want to hear it. Oh, how our hearts should burn for the lost. Oh, that fire to reach them for Jesus. I pray this be our heartfelt prayer. Heavenly Father, just guide this sermon today and let your will be done, not mine. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when we need to get this right in this life, and this is the title, right? In this life, you and I, us, we will have storms. This is a given. This is not opinion. And if you live, well, I'm 41, so I've lived a little bit. Of course, some people that are, you know, they're 60 through 70s, I haven't lived enough. You know, they live longer, and I get that. But I'm no longer 16, 17, or 20. I have experienced life, and I can tell you, from my experience and what I read in scripture, we will experience things in this life. We will experience storms. And of course, most of us right now, we're very aware of the Russia, Ukraine crisis, war. In this context, we can look at this as a physical storm. And some of you guys may be wondering, what does that mean for us? Of course, here in America, of course, we're not probably the only one. There's probably, you know, other countries around wondering this. And I have, you know, brothers and sisters in other countries that listen to this podcast. And of course, the heartbeat of this ministry is centering on America. That's where God has, for now, has placed my heart until he changes it or moves me on to something else. This is the heartbeat of this ministry, is to call out to America. So you may be wondering what's next. We see this Russia and Ukraine crisis war. And that, of course, is a natural human thought pattern to think about this. I mean, it's nothing unusual. But I want to caution you. I want to caution myself and us. We need to approach this and any other physical storm or situations that we face in life that results in this physical storm and a spiritual storm in us. We need to keep this in mind. We need to place Jesus at the center of these storms. Because we can quickly get off path. We can quickly start thinking very negative and having a negative reaction, which is an unhealthy thought pattern. That can lead to very negative results and negative behavior, which is unbecoming of one who professed to know Jesus. Instead, we need to understand that within the contents of these storms, placing Jesus in the center of these storms, we need to take our eyes off ourselves and place our eyes on Jesus in anything that we're experiencing in our life, and that is any current storm that we're facing right now or any future storms or challenges that we will face. Trust me, Jesus got this. Even when we cannot figure it out, he got this. In our passage in Mark 4:36-41, here we have the disciples and Jesus in a ship. Here the ship, which is just basically a boat. You will see in other translations, they break it down. A boat. The boat was, most historians will put this boat, it was as long as a delivery truck, about as wide as your typical bass boat. It was not a very large vessel. And we have here a storm. Verse 36 in the verse, or 37 when it speaks of the storm. But before we get in that, I just want to point out in verse 36 here, in that verse, it says, other little ships, other little ships. Meaning there were other boats following the boat that the disciples and Jesus Christ was in. And of course, we have this great storm and the wind and the waves, they beating on the ship, and of course the water's coming into the ship, and it says it's being full. You see that in 37, and we have this great storm. But I always look at that little, when we were studying the Word of God, it's so beautiful to study the Word of God and get into His Word, and little things come out from the text, and he said, other little ship, I'm curious what, we don't hear anymore about these other little ships, boats, in this historical account. Just me personally, I'm like, what happened to these little boats? But we truly do not know. But I just wanted to point that out. But we do, what we do know in this historical account told by Mark, there's this great storm with the disciples and Jesus in focus here now. And we see that in 37. I don't know if you've seen this movie. It's called Perfect Storm. It's a kind of older movie. It's done in 2000. A little time ago. But the movie is based on a true story of the craziest men and women who risk their lives every working day, pitting their fishing boats and rescue vessels against the unpredictable force of the weather. If you have seen this movie, and when these guys, they hit this storm, and they call it the perfect storm, and you will see the wind, the rain, and the thunder in these waves finally attacking their ship. Now, I don't know how great this storm was when the disciples are experiencing it. But we know it was a great, and it was enough to freak out the disciples. We need to keep in mind, most of them were used to storms. Some of them were fishermen. So they had experience with storms. But this storm was different. And they are panicking. And they're looking for this lifeline. Jesus, right? He is our lifeline. And what they discover, we look at verse 38. What they discover, it says here, and he was in the hinder part, the back of the ship. He is asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, this is a question they present to Jesus. Master, carest thou that we perish? Basically, do you care if we die? Why are you sleeping? Wake up. You know, we can get that way. Before we get too critical with disciples, we can get that way. I know I can. I know some people want to think preachers, pastors, Bible teachers, or any biblical leadership role is immune from asking God, do you really care? We can look across things and scratch our heads. I'm one of those preachers. I don't pretend to be something I am not. I don't do that. Like me or hate me, you're going to get what the Holy Spirit lays on my heart. Like me or hate me, you will see the way I live my life. But if you're honest with yourself, you can get that way too. Personally, I fight depression and anxiety on a daily basis. I pray for God to remove this depression, this anxiety every day. But I still have depression and anxiety. Does that mean God does not care? No! God cares more than my little brain can process. I'm saying my little brain. I'm putting me in the spotlight here. You can draw your own conclusions about yourself. But my little brain cannot process how powerful and great my God is. He is infinite, right? And when we say this word infinite, it just means God exists outside of and is not limited by time and space. Just when you hear the word infinite, just think without limits. I, you, us, we got limits, guys. We are trying to figure out a limitless God with our limited mind. You can put it out, right? Put it another way. God is infinite and we are finite. Those are just fancy words for speaking of limit and limitless. And we need to get this, right? We will not truly understand God fully until we get to glory. You may say, well, this is your opinion, preacher. No. There's many scriptures here, but I'm just going to give one. I could give scriptures. I love giving scriptures. Isaiah, but one of my favorite is Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, said the Lord. Lord is saying this. He's in my thoughts. Are not yours, neither are your ways my ways. In verse 9 said, for as the heavens are higher than yours and my thoughts than your thoughts, he's saying, you can't even process me. So don't even try. We try. I get that. Because we want to try to figure God out. We won't. For his thoughts are not our thoughts, neither his ways my ways. He is infinite, guys. We are not. He is a creator. He is the creator of heavens and earth. Psalms 8 is such a beautiful psalm. It's a praise psalm. It praises the holy and righteous God. And just the first three verses here, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent thy name in all heaven, who has set the glory above heavens, and out of the mouth of babes suckling has thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mayest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy finger, just like the finger, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, God is a beautiful artist. I don't know about you, but when you go out at night and you look at the stars, and there are so many. If you had to guess how many stars on a given night, I encourage you guys to do some research on that, because it's amazing. Most astronomers will estimate there's 200 billion trillion stars, and we can only see about one third of them. The universe is beyond what we can imagine. We are just part of one galaxy, the Milky Way. I ain't talking about the candy bar here, but I do like candy. Always, when I thought of the Milky Way, I always think of the candy bar. That's why I said that. This is just one, right? Our galaxy compared to, there are billions or may be trillions of galaxies. And our galaxy is not even the largest. It stretches by 105,700 light years in diameter and may contain at least 100 billion planets, around 40 billion stars. Just, you know, think about how big outer space is. It's the universe, and God created that. Just sit and just ponder that. And that's on the grand scale, but you know, he knows each and every one of us on an individual scale. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before he placed Jeremiah in his mother's womb, God knew him, and God knows us too, before we were even in our mother's womb. He said, before I come forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. Of course, Jeremiah was an awesome prophet of many. It was Isaiah and Ezekiel, you know, right? Psalms 139:13 so forth, it says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. These are pointing to a divine creator. And he is sovereign. And this simply means God is in control. I know we try to figure everything out, and that's human. And I want to know. I please sometimes got to know what's going on and why. But it doesn't mean I will get an answer. But what the key is to understand, he don't have to give us an answer. He is God, we are not. All we have to get that he is in control. He is sovereign. And I love throwing these terms out, because hopefully you have heard the word sovereign. And hopefully you have heard of the word infinite. And hopefully, you know, hope you heard that he is divine creator. But his sovereignty is all through the Bible. One of my favorite passages is Revelation 21:6. Says God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is immortal and he is present everywhere, so that everyone can know him. And I say all this, it's only barely touching the surface on how great our God is. But we got Jesus here. He's in this boat, and Jesus is the Son of God. He is God with us, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. And when we look at the contents here in verse 38, you've got this great storm. A great storm, a perfect storm. In the same contents, you have this perfect man to walk this earth. And of course, we know Jesus Christ is more than a man. He is God in the flesh. So we get that in context. Let's just get that in our mind. He's this perfect storm, this great storm, and a perfect God. And you got the disciples, and they're not getting this. We can see that in 38, right? And what do? We go to verse 39, and after they woke him, he rose, and he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, he looked across that chaos, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus Christ rebuked the wind. He spoke to the sea. And the sea, that sea that was in chaos. And he said these three simple words, peace be still. And guess what? That sea that was roaring became calm. You see, those physical storm, that physical storm that had disciples worked up, Jesus only spoke three words, peace be still. When we look at our lives and all the physical storms that we can have in our life, do you know Jesus Christ wants to create that peace in your life? We can have this peace. Any of the physical storms that we're allowing to create spiritual storms in our life, we can have a peace within these storms. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, meaning we can't really get it, will guard your hearts and minds through who? Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's speaking of this fear here, negative fear. Only way to have true peace is through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1-2 tells us, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace. Here again, peace with God through our who? Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by into this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Just want to keep pointing and emphasizing, true peace comes from Jesus Christ. And when we look at the disciples, they're panicking and they're worrying and they wake Jesus and they're freaking out. Were they operating in peace? No. Were they having faith in Jesus Christ who was right there in the boat with them? No. And guess what, guys? If you're truly a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus Christ living in you. He is the Comforter. John 14:26 says this, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father, that is God, will send in my name, that is Jesus Christ, who shall teach you all things. And that is, of course, the Holy Spirit. He, Holy Spirit, is a He. He will bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Meaning when we are going through all these storms in life, we just have to get out of the way. And I can speak from personal experience. Jonathan Ritter wants to get in the way. This flesh wants to get in the way every time. And when it does, there goes my peace. Poof. Right out the window. And this is what's going on with the disciples here. They're seeing this physical storm is rocking them to their core. And I love teaching on spiritual teaching and preaching on spiritual warfare and I got to actually try to post, get this Bible study post for next month. But there's several Bible studies on spiritual warfare. I encourage you guys to check it. Probably 2 years of writing on that, on this website. It's on the spiritual warfare Bible study tab, and you can, it's probably, if you copy and paste all of them, it'd probably be almost 200 pages, maybe, give or take. I don't know, I'm just guessing, but that's a lot of information. But there's a lot what the scripture says on spiritual warfare, and I believe the church has dropped the ball on that, teaching and preaching on spiritual warfare. I believe they keeping it biblical, right? I know there's people that they can get off on get off and do their own thing. We need to keep it real and keep it scriptural, guys. And if your pastor does that, I mean, he's human, and hopefully he can take correction. You correct him. If not, then you just find you a different church, or hopefully you find you a church that, you know, that's actually teaching the Word of God. And, you know, like I tell many on this website and when I'm preaching in person, I'm human. I say things that could not be correct. Please correct me. I will heed correction. Make sure it's through scripture, though, and that you're not, it's not because I hurt your feelings, because I can do that really quick. Not really me, though. I'll say me when I'm preaching. Man, it's all the Holy Spirit, but I know people won't target me, but that's all right. But, you know, teaching and preaching on spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6:25 says this, and your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel. Here it is, the gospel of peace. We need to understand that peace does not come from us. And I know there's millions of books on self-help on how we can achieve inner peace. No, we can't achieve no inner peace. Meditation, unless it's through the Word of God or Yoda, or not Yoda, yoga, maybe yoga, I think. This meditation trying to put us at the center and making us God, the Eastern mystic thought pattern of achieving nirvana. No. The only peace that truly comes is through Jesus Christ. You see, when we get that, our eyes become open more to the direction that God wants to us to view everything that we're seeing in our life. From a personal to a global, or, you know, the Russia and Ukraine conflict or war, depending on how you want to use that wording there. And of course, our hearts should be hurting for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, and we need to be praying for them. But our footing, right? This is what, when we look at Ephesians 6:25, it says, your foot shone, being placed. And I preached on this quite a few times, but this is the footing, which is very important. Of course, Paul here is referring, he's using as an illustration of the footwear, the Roman soldiers' footwear, and how important it was in that time. They had these sandals, I guess you could call them sandals. And these sandals are strapped up to the knee, tightly fastened to the soldier's leg. And if you would pick up one of these sandals back in those days, you could flip it around and look at the bottom, and it would be knobs or something like nails protruding from them. Think of athlete cleats, ancient version of athlete cleats. And of course, if you're familiar with sports and stuff, with the cleats is you want something, when you place it on the ground, you want it to cling to the ground so you have strong footing. Interesting thought here. Alexander the Great invented these, or a champion, these athlete cleats, these ancient version athlete cleats. And he was given credit for many of the Greek army impressive victories to the firm footing of his forces. Now, I don't support Alexander the Great. I just thought that was a interesting thought of when you were looking at the Greek army here. And of course, the Greek army was different than the Romans, but they did have similarities. But when we're in a battle, when we're going, we need to have a firm grip on foundation, that ground, right? When we're engaging the enemy, right? Having firm footing. And we can look at, of course, the sword of the Roman soldiers, the shield of the Roman soldiers. All this would be ineffective without that firm footing. They couldn't get the force they needed when they were engaging, meaning using the sword and using the shield for protection. The same as engaging our spiritual enemies, of course, Satan and his demons. We have the sword, that is the word of God. We have the shield of faith, which is, these are very important components of our armor of God. We need to have that firm grip in the gospel of peace so we can effectively use the word of God and our shield of faith. And of course, the gospel of peace is in Jesus Christ. He is our solid rock. If we are going all over the place and we're letting Satan infiltrate our minds and causing these spiritual storms in our mind, we're affecting our behavior and other people seeing that, and you know, a bunch of scenarios, we are not operating in the word of God and we are not using our shield of faith. So you can see how important that is. Within that peace, we can engage through the Holy Spirit inside us, through the word of God, these physical things we see, that we get beyond ourselves and we understand what they are before it gets to the point where our minds are in so much chaos the depression, the anxiety, and the de-stress, the stress and the hopelessness. And we can see this fear, disciples were going through this. Verse 40. Mark 4:40 says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? This is Jesus presenting the question. He already knew the answer. How is ye have no faith? You see, Jesus Christ rebuked that physical storm. Then he rebuked that spiritual storm in his disciples. He says, why are ye so fearful? Why are you so fearful? And you have no faith. At that point, you're not operating in that defensive faith. You're not having faith in me. I'm right here in the boat, guys. You see, Jesus Christ did not hold back. He's what we would call in the country a straight shooter. Here are these disciples, and they know better. I'm going to tell you, Satan was right there that day. We might not see Jesus Christ calling Satan out by name, but he's calling Satan out by one of his names. That is fear. And this fear Jesus Christ is speaking of here is a negative fear. It's a fear that we can associate with phobia. That's pointing to the Greek. A phobia. A crippling fear. Maybe you can think of a phobia that you know. My wife, she is scared of spiders. You think of that fear. And how crippling that can be when you encounter a physical fear, like, you know, some people are scared of clowns and you know, snakes, and I mean, the list goes on and on. But this is this negative fear, this phobia is gripping the hearts of the disciples. What are they facing? They're facing that fear of death. Why do you care if we perish? Of course, Jesus cared. But they allow Satan to infiltrate their mind with this negative fear, taking away their joy and their hope and their faith. This spiritual storm raging in their heart, and Jesus knew this. But I want to tell you, this negative fear is counter to God. 1 John 4:18 tells us there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He's speaking of this negative, this phobia, that fear is not made perfect in love, meaning love, perfect love casts out fear. See, Jesus Christ does not create this type of fear in our lives. This is Satan and his demons, and he's calling out Satan here that has infiltrated their minds. See, Satan and demons, all they want to do is cause all kind of chaos in your life to get you in that state of prayerful, that phobia, that fear. That spirit of fear, right? 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Amen. This is Jesus Christ. He's calling them out. We're not given this type of fear. But of what? Where does our power come from? Jesus Christ. Where does our true love come from? Jesus Christ. Where does our sound mind come from? Jesus Christ. I hope you're seeing the pattern here. Jesus Christ is our foundation. Everything we're going to experience in this life, we need to get our minds away from ourselves and place our eyes on Jesus Christ. We need to focus our minds on the Word of God daily. That is studying His Scripture, memorizing His Scripture. This is to have a devoted prayer life daily. A fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And I'm not just talking about on Facebook. I'm talking about going to a building. Physically seeing your brothers and sisters and talking to them. Go to church. Get involved. Quit using every excuse you think to in the physical gathering with your local body of believers. Quit letting Satan infiltrate your mind with his fear. Amen. In closing, the title of this sermon is, "In this life, you and I, us, will have storms." And our key Bible passage here, I encourage you guys to read it on your own again. Look at these scriptures on your own again. Do your own Bible study. But the key passage here is Mark 4:36-41. In this life, we will have storms. And these physical storms will challenge you and can lead you to have that these spiritual storms in your mind. And when this occurs, we need to understand. We need to understand. We cannot fight these physical storms, these spiritual storms in our mind alone. We cannot even approach anything in this life alone. We need to firmly grasp who Jesus Christ is, because He is the centerpiece of our life. When everything is falling apart, He is the only firm foundation that will stand in our minds. And He will keep our mind intact. When we look at this historical account in Mark 4, this physical storm was causing the disciples to panic. Who should have knew better? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was right there in the boat with them. They should have been relaxing, not worrying about that wind and the wave and all the elements that come with a great storm of the sea, right? They lost their key component. The heartbeat of this message is this, or the take-home message today is, or this week is, or even months and you know, years from now, this is the message that we need to have in our hearts. See, Jesus Christ was right in the boat with them. And Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is right there in us. He has given us what we need. If we truly are His, we have access to this peace. And everything we will experience in this life, we have access to His peace. This is truth, right? This is the truth of the matter. We need to get all the way. I know I can take this advice myself. I need to get out of the way. I can get in the way. God's got this. He is working through us to create who He needs us to be. We need to get beyond ourselves. We do not let these storms around us define us who we are. No, we let God who is in us define us within the contents of that storm. We lean more on Jesus Christ, right? That faith, right? That trust in Jesus Christ, on His promise. And we don't let this negative fear drive us. That Satan and his demons are trying to use. And we start engaging in this effective spiritual warfare because our footing is placed firmly on that rock that is Jesus Christ. And man, I pray that your footing is there. And of course, this website has ton of salvation messages on it. And I would encourage each and every one of you, if you truly want to, you know, hear, you know, maybe you might have not heard a salvation message. Maybe, I don't know who's listening to this. Maybe you want to hear a salvation message, a true one. There's messages on here. And of course, if you ever have any questions, please email me through this website. Or you can send me a friend request. Just message me and just say you visit this website and you would like to, you know, be part of the Facebook, my Facebook account, and I'll add you. And you can message me through daily with anything you want to talk about. I'm going to tell you, times are getting real, guys. But when we're looking as children of God, as disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, we need to get this in our mind that we don't respond the way the world responds. We respond differently. And I hope this message, I know it is, because it will help others, because the Holy Spirit just laid this on my heart to type this up and to speak it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to go through your word. I pray, Lord, that whoever hears this, that they just grab onto it. I pray it enters their ears and penetrate their hearts, that wherever they may be going through in their life, knowing maybe there's this chaos and this fear just engulfing their life right now. Maybe they're trying to scratch their head and try and figure it out. And sometimes it's not meant for us to figure it out. Just keep on pressing on. Keep putting that trust in you, knowing that you are God, that you are infinite, that you are a creator of heavens and earth, that you are sovereign. Your will be done, not mine, but yours. And we just keep pressing on with that thought pattern, that we realize that we are in a spiritual war that's been raging for a while now. and knowing within that spiritual war that we need that gospel of peace, our footing, our foundation on that rock solid, gripping when the storms hit. We have that firm foundation, and within them storms, we hold our ground, not because we're special, but because the Holy Spirit that's living in us is special, and the Holy Spirit has the power, that love, and that sound mind that keeps us within that storm, and that we are prepared to do battle wherever it may be. We do not let the physical storms define us, but we let God, how He handles those storms through us, define us. Let our light shine among men. Let our words speak truth. Let us stand within the storms. Lord, we lift You up above any other name. We know You are God and we are not. Your ways are way beyond ours. Oh, our little minds try to grasp it, but our minds will truly never grasp who You are until one day when we are in glory land, till we are in heaven, or the new heaven and earth in Your second coming. God, let our faith be stronger than our spirit of fear. Let our faith be stronger than all the things occurring around us, knowing that You are God and we are not, and we will trust in You regardless. If we truly don't understand what's going on, we lift You up above all other names, and we will keep pressing on regardless of all the things that are here and that will be coming, that will fall and that will rattle America more than this Russia-Ukraine crisis or war. God, we just thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You, God, for His sacrifice. He did not have to die on that cross. No, He did not have to give His life, but this is where grace and mercy points to. We do not deserve Jesus Christ, but You gave Him to us anyway. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the blood that was spilt that day for the atonement. That perfect Lamb that take away the sins of the world, as John the Baptist says. Oh, how the blood flowed because of the love, that agape love that He has for us, this world. He died for all, not a select few. He loves all. He wants all to come to Him. Oh, let our hearts yearn for the lost. Oh, if somebody's listening here that don't know Jesus, we pray, Lord, that You just flood their hearts. You flood them. You bring them to their knees. Bring them to their knees. Open their eyes as Satan has blinded, to recognize there's a love beyond this world. There's a peace beyond this world. There's a hope beyond this world. Oh, it's all in the name of Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God. He calls all to Him. He calls all to repentance, that godly sorrow. He wants us to turn away from our wicked ways. He wants us to go and live a life that is holy and righteous to Him. Oh, these words are so important. And we know He rose from that grave. Oh, we know that He's coming back someday. And we know that we're truly His and we believe on this, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and it changes our lives. And we begin that process of being more like Him. We hate our sin and we want to live as Jesus did. That is the new life. We want our light to shine among men in this evil and adulterous generation, that our light will shine and that our mouth will speak the gospel of truth to those around us when it's becoming unpopular, unpopular, unpopular. It will continue to be unpopular until the very end. Lord, I pray that you just give us strength to stand and to endure to the end. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good day and rest of the week.